Hendra virus was first identified in September 1994 following the death of 13 horses and their trainer, Vic Rail, in a Brisbane suburb of Hendra, hence the name. And the disease is carried by fruit bats but can be passed on to horses, which in turn can transmit it to humans and more rarely to dogs. And a recent outbreak has hit the mid-north coast with the death of two horses and a dog in the Maxwell area and two in Kempsey. And today I would like to welcome Dr. Ian Poey, and he is the Senior District Vet of the Mid-Coast Livestock Health and Pest Authority. Welcome to you, Ian.
Yeah, thanks, Kerry.
I wondered if you could give us an update of the situation of the Hendra outbreak on the mid-north coast.
So far we've had four horses affected. All four horses have either died or been euthanized because they've been so severely unwell as a result of Hendra virus. Now, the first case was a property west of Bowraville, and that was in early June. Now, that property has since been released from quarantine after undertaking the compulsory sort of testing that we do of other animals on the property. The second property is west of Maxville, and that property had a horse die in early July. We are currently monitoring two other horses on that property, as well as initially three dogs, and there was also a cat. Unfortunately, one of those dogs tested positive to Hendra virus and was euthanized because of that. Then we also have two horses in the Kempsey area, one west of Kempsey and one in Kempsey itself, which have also been affected. Unfortunately, one of those horses had been moved just before it was euthanized, so that's in turn sort of tied up another property as well. So all up at the moment, we have actually five properties in quarantine, and we do ongoing monitoring on those. So we test all the in-contact horses, and if there's any dogs or cats on the property that have had contact with the horses, we test them as well.
Right. So how long is that quarantine time?
The quarantine, initially we issue a 40-day quarantine, but what we do is we do our testing basically as soon as we get a positive result. We try and test those other animals as soon as we can. So that's normally the next day we would get that done. We then test them again at day 12 and at day 20. And if all those results come back negative, then following the negative results from that day 20 testing, the quarantine is lifted. It's sort of 1.5 incubation periods of the disease. So it gives us good confidence that there's been no spread from the infected horse to other animals on the property. Mostly the quarantines would be lifted within 4 weeks.
With people, how long do you have to wait to find out if they have been infected?
Now, obviously the human health risk is the first thing that we need to address. So we need to identify people who have had contact with the sick horse, and we include going back a few days prior to the horse showing signs as well. Now, all those people are assessed by the public health unit, so they have a very extensive questionnaire that they go through with these people to determine their risk of exposure. Now, in all the cases that we've had in the region so far, all the people involved, so that's owners, vets, other people that have been near the horses, have all been identified as low risk. So public health talk to them about things that they should look out for. To my knowledge, none of the people involved have been tested for the disease because they've been assessed as low risk.
What general advice do you give to people in managing their horses? We're going to talk about the vaccine in a moment, but generally how they manage them, where they keep them, that sort of thing.
Up until the vaccine was released, the advice we were giving people was if you had trees on the property where flying foxes would visit, if those trees were fruiting or flowering, to fence them off, to remove access to the horses, if possible, covering feed and water troughs, and not having feed and water troughs under trees, just to try and reduce the risk of contamination from bat urine or feces or the bits of fruit that they spit out. Stabling horses overnight time can help as well. And obviously the introduction of vaccines, those points are all still valid, but obviously the vaccine really is the best protection that we've got.
Kempsey at the moment is the furthest point south. Do you think it can continue to head south?
It's
a bit like the cane toads, isn't it?
Yeah, look, we had a case in Maxville 2 years ago, a single horse, and at that point that was the furthest south it had been, and then this year we just seem to have had a little cluster, and obviously it's a bit further south. I guess potentially anywhere where there are flying foxes and horses that come together, we may see the disease. So it's quite possible that we would see cases further south.
The horses at Kempsey apparently didn't appear to have obvious contact with bats. So are there different theories about how they may have contracted Hendra?
I mean, that's probably a little bit misleading. All the properties where we have had horses affected in this area have had bats visiting the property.
Right.
In three cases, there's evidence that the bats have been feeding in some of the trees on those properties. And on one property, the paddock where the horse was running was actually not far from a roosting colony.
Since the last outbreak of Hendra in 2011, we now have a vaccine available for horses, which is a huge breakthrough. So what is the vaccination regime?
So the vaccine, and just to spell a couple of myths, it's not an experimental vaccine. While at the moment it's not fully registered, the vaccine works well. It's been extensively tested in laboratory and we know that it works. What you find with vaccines or any products that are used in animals, they generally have quite a long time to get them into the marketplace. Now, this vaccine was released fairly quickly because of the human health risks associated with the disease, but it's by no means experimental. We know that it works and it works well. So the vaccine protocol at this stage is that horses need two doses, 3 to 6 weeks apart, and then a booster every 6 months after that. Now, they are doing further testing on the vaccine to further determine the duration of immunity that the vaccine offers. And they are hoping that in the future they'll have evidence to prove that the vaccine is protective for 12 months. That's work being undertaken as we speak, and unfortunately one of the trials that they had set up to test that theory didn't run as well as they'd hoped, and they had some problems actually in the control group of animals. So it's unlikely that we'll know until early next year now whether the vaccine is protective for 12 months. So at this stage, boosters every 6 months after those first two doses.
How long after they start the vaccination program are they considered immune?
The horses, to be fully immune, it'd be a couple of weeks after that second dose. Now, obviously, they don't go from being completely naive to fully immune. So in that period, their level of protection rises, but we wouldn't consider a horse to be fully protected until a couple of weeks after that second dose.
A lot of people are getting their horses vaccinated. I know they are because the vets are so very busy, and people can protect themselves by immunising their own horses. But then if they want to go to a gymkhana or a camp draft or polo cross, they are then exposed to other people's horses. So can you see a time when it will be mandatory for horses to be immunised for them to actually attend horse events?
That may come in or may not. I'm not sure. I guess at the end of the day, it's a decision that needs to be made locally with the management committee of any event. My advice to people is obviously vaccination will protect their own horse. If they're going to an event and there are horses there unvaccinated or their horses aren't vaccinated, then the things that we can do to minimise the risk, obviously avoiding close contact between horses at events. So the disease doesn't spread rapidly between horses. You do need quite close contact. So minimising close contact and obviously avoiding close contact around the head of other people's horses. If you're around horses and you don't know their vaccination status, you avoid close contact with them, then you're at no risk.
Just liken it to if you want to drop your dog off at a kennel, it won't be accepted unless it has had all its shots.
Yeah, well, that's
so it may
true.
Come to that
yeah,
situation.
Look, it may come to that, and I know that the ECHA in Brisbane this year brought in a compulsory vaccination policy, and that was their choice. I wouldn't be surprised if other events went down the same path. Mm. The difficulty is, do you draw a geographical line somewhere and say, well, the disease hasn't been seen further south of Kempsey, so south of there, it's not a worry, or do you make it Australia-wide, and that's probably the harder decision.
Yeah, and of course cost can be prohibitive, especially if people have several horses. The cost seems to vary too, from $120 to $160 for the initial shots. Why does it vary so much?
Well, the vaccine needs to be administered by a vet, and the horses also need to be identified with a microchip at the time of vaccination. My understanding in this area is that most vets are pretty comparable, and the first dose is generally around that $120 mark. But if the horse needs to be microchipped as well, then there's an extra charge for a microchip. And obviously the travel time for a vet to get to the property would be incorporated into the cost as well. So I say to people, yeah, it's not just a vaccine to protect your horse from getting Hendra virus. We know that Hendra will spread from fruit bats to horses. There's no evidence that it will spread from fruit bats to any other species. The other species that have been infected have been infected from close contact with infected horses. So by vaccinating the horse, we break that cycle and we protect not only the horse, but also the humans involved and also the dogs and cats and other animals like that involved as well.
Of course, vets and their staff are particularly in the front line of this. So is there a vaccine being developed for people?
There's not at this stage. Now we have a vaccine for horses. We can prevent human infection by vaccinating horses. If there was a human vaccine, I would envisage that it would be many years off from now. And certainly, yeah, vets are really at highest risk. If you look at the seven people who've been unfortunately affected by Hendra virus, four of which who have died, the majority of those people are vets or people who've been assisting vets. So they're really a high-risk group.
That's right. Dr. Ian Poe, thank you so much for talking to 2MVR this morning, taking time out in your busy schedule.
Yeah, no worries, Kerry. My pleasure.
Thank you. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.